Hi, welcome to Bookie. Today we will unlock the book Originals, How Nonconformists Changed the World. This book subverts traditional innovation activities and points out the common but subtle traps that many of us might fall into during the innovation process, making our innovations more efficient. For example, you may believe that original ideas arise from inspiration. However, this book explains that they actually come from questioning the implicit rules and defaults. You may also believe that the innovation process is full of risks, but this book reassures us that successful innovators tend to use hedging to reduce risk. Furthermore, you might believe that whenever you have a brilliant idea, you must act immediately to bring it to life. This book, on the other hand, cautions us that a reasonable delay can bring a higher success rate. In the past, people believed that innovations were the heroic behaviors of select innovators. Adam Grant's Originals dispels this misconception. Originality actually requires systematic engineering and a solid process framework. After listening to this bookie, you will gain a new understanding of the generation and implementation of original ideas and master a set of guidelines for innovative activities that you can use right away. Next, we will summarize the main contents of this book in two parts. Part 1. How do we identify a valuable original idea? Part 2. How do we promote original ideas? Successful innovators have many approaches that differ from our assumptions. As we just mentioned, normally we may think innovators are not afraid of risks, as innovation is a process full of uncertainties, but in reality, they are risk-averse, protecting themselves by hedging. However, such aversion is necessary. Research has shown that entrepreneurs who start a business while working are 33% less likely to fail than those who quit their jobs to launch their businesses wholeheartedly. Many successful and innovative talents have started their businesses while still working or studying. For example, Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, started selling running shoes in a stall in 1964 and worked as a full-time accountant until 1969. After the comic strip, Dilbert was serialized in the newspapers to great acclaim. Author Scott Adams continued to work for the Pacific Bell Telephone Company for 7 years. When 4 students from Grant's alma mater founded the eyewear brand Warby Parker, they did not drop out of school and started a business impulsively due to their passion for the project. On the contrary, they all continued to excel at their studies. They started their business as students and managed the risks of entrepreneurship well. You might think that these examples lack an adventurous spirit, but they share the economic mindset of balancing risks out in a portfolio. In other words, innovators behave aggressively in one aspect, but they remain as safe as possible in other aspects to offset the risks. For example, Knight, as mentioned earlier, was very conservative and held down a full-time accounting job. This reflected the traditional, cautious side of his character. But at the same time, he also has a radical side. According to his biography, Nike has always been considered a crazy gamble by the local bank that gave him the loan, because Knight always borrowed as much as possible to keep the company in an alarming state of ultra-high-speed development, and he was on the verge of bankruptcy several times. This was his aggressive and adventurous side. If you want to learn more about Knight's story, be sure to check out our bookie of Shoe Dog. Okay, now you might agree that innovation does not necessarily require taking on huge risks, and that it's possible to work and start a creative project simultaneously. But another question may arise. Wouldn't the full-time job consume most of their precious time and energy, the two most essential ingredients for innovation? And you may be right. But the true value of a full-time job lies in the fact that it gives the entrepreneur psychological security in one area of their balanced risk portfolio. This peace of mind enables them to go on full blast in another area. Knight's accounting work gave him enough confidence to ask the bank for loans. Adam's work at the telephone company allowed him to devote himself to the creation of Dilbert in his spare time without having to worry about how to make ends meet. Now that we've covered how to reduce risk in the innovation process, let's look at how to actually create an original idea. According to Grant, originality starts from rejecting the norm. In terms of originality, humans are divided into 2 categories. Those who stick to the norm, and those who are willing to try other options. The behaviors of these 2 groups are reflected in our choice of internet browsers. In his research, economist Michael Hausman discovered that 2/3 of customer service workers used a default browser, such as Microsoft's IE, and that very few subjects were willing to download Firefox or Chrome. However, the latter group was able to provide better and more efficient service to their customers. On average, it took only 90 working days for the Firefox or Chrome users to achieve the same customer satisfaction levels that took 120 working days for the IE users. The Firefox and Chrome users rejected the default option and actively sought out better alternatives. Such a behavior reflects their tendency towards innovation, which helped them become better at their jobs. Similarly, in life, there are also many default options. Most of us choose the default ones, or the ones that are easiest to see, without realizing that there are many other options. In other words, the verb choose might not be the best choice of words here, as the default option is often just implicitly accepted as the only one, but it is often not the most sensible or fairest choice. Why does this strange phenomenon exist? It's because our rationalization of the default system serves a soothing function. Those who make conventional choices think, if this is how the world is supposed to be, then we don't need to be dissatisfied with it. Of course, the default options are not all bad. Sometimes they can help us make better decisions. For more on this, check out the bookie of Nudge. However, when it comes to originality, we should still question the norm. The defining characteristic of originality is the refusal of default choices and the exploration of better alternatives. In this process, innovators first become curious about the norm and then raise doubts. Once they start to doubt, that's when the spark of originality sizzles. Dave Gilboa is one of the founders of the eyewear company Warby Parker. In the past, glasses in America used to be quite expensive. At the time, Gilboa didn't think much of this. He had always regarded glasses as a form of medical treatment due to his poor eyesight. Once, he was lining up at the Apple store to buy an iPhone when he began to think about the connection between glasses and mobile devices. A question popped up in his mind. It's no surprise that smartphones are so expensive, but why does a simple product like a pair of glasses cost even more than the iPhone? There has been no innovation within the field of eyewear in the 1,000 years since it was invented, so where did this expensive price tag come from? Gilboa's curiosity led him to question the norm, and as doubts arose in his mind, so did the spark of innovation. After some research, he found that the high price of glasses was due to a monopoly. The European company Luxottica had monopolized the eyewear market and priced it at 20 times the cost. Thus, Gilboa had an idea. He could produce glasses himself and sell them directly on the internet to cost-conscious consumers. Warby Parker's success story may give you the impression that all original ideas are high-quality ideas. In reality, however, most original ideas will not be embraced by the market. Therefore, we need to pick out the really great ideas from the pack. Grant's approach to this is to seek effective feedback from fellow creators and potential customers.